It's time for VOBS Tech Talk number 26.
Wait, how do you do that with two hands?
Those were gang signs.
Anybody know binary?
Or is it trouble, man?
Like, yeah. With our special guest this week, Byron Wagner, who knows more about tech than anybody anywhere. So we might refer to him every now and again. If you've got a question for us, throw it in the Facebook chat room so we can answer it. We got a bunch of questions, but we got video from
NAMM 2020.
Whoa.
The National Association of Music Merchandisers, which sounds really boring, but it's everything but that.
It's if you like gear, stay tuned to Tech Talk right now on VOBS. Right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the voiceover home studio master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Greetings, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO. BS. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Wow, it's amazing what you do with
Can't
a bunch
we afford
of
a real reverb?
just go in my bathroom.
I know there's a button on here somewhere that does that.
Yeah, we'll try that. Byron Wagner is our guest tonight. We'll be talking
about. Hey, we have a guest for Tech Talk?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Talking, yeah. Teching. Yeah, we have the right guy.
Right. But if you want to talk about VO Tech, you got to remind you guys. There's only a couple of people that really understand the concept of a home voiceover studio.
Live, eat, sleep, drink, breathe.
Exactly.
The whole thing.
You got a lot of recording engineers out there. We won't mention any names that, you know, they someone will say, hey, I want to build a voiceover studio. And they tend to tell them how to, you know, people are asking for the time and people tell them how to build a watch.
Yeah. A little too much.
There's a choice.
There is.
Oh. Too much tech.
Yes. So we need to tell you that you need to work with people that actually understand what you're doing, not what these guys are doing in these billion-dollar studios all over the place.
Right.
So if you want to talk to guys that really know what it's supposed to sound like and how you make it sound that way,
without spending gobs and gobs of money,
and all those things, will save you thousands. You can work with George, and the way you find him is over at.
I'm at George the. .tech, and you see what I did there? And did that little thing, and you all look. Don't you just love that little?
You learn that from the African Bushman?
Yes.
Bosa.
Exactly. George the .tech or georgethetech.com if you're just averse to those creative TL, what are they called? TDLs?
Top level domain.
TLDs, top level domains.
That's
thanks.
Why
you know I made that up, right?
Fortunately, I think you're right on that. But all my tech stuff's over there. You can check the menus for all different services. And if you're just overwhelmed with options, you can always go to the contacts part of the page and just let us know what you're looking to do. And we'll let you know what services are going to help you out.
Right.
And Dan's also on the web, and he's over at
Where am I? Oh, I'm over here. That's right.
Yes.
HomeVoiceOverStudio.com.
That's right.
Check us out. Go in there. I have my specimen collection cup. You click on that. Send me some of your audio for $25. I will make sure that your audio is sounding the way it's supposed to sound. Just follow the instructions.
Audio only, please.
Audio only. No processing, no editing. I want to hear what that room you have created sounds like. So we can, if it needs to be changed, there's certain things we can do, but
that's right.
We'll talk about that. So anyway, last weekend, you got in your car and you drove to Anaheim.
I did.
You know, probably parked far away, hiked all the way into the Anaheim Convention Center.
I got dialed. I don't drive anywhere near the place. I drive immediately to the Angel Stadium, right. Hop on a bus.
Take the shuttle, yeah.
It's painless, pretty much, as it goes.
And you went to NAMM.
To the NAMM show. It's a huge trade show for the music industry, and of course, all the vendors that sell gear that they sell to musicians and people that want to be musicians are there, and of course, that includes a tremendous amount of audio equipment. So I try to go every year because it's not that far away.
No.
And this year, my sponsor, because you have to get badges from somebody unless you're somebody, and I'm still nobody, apparently, even though I was somebody. And I'm no longer
be
anybody.
What happened? Somebody again.
What happened?
I can't get media badges, so now I have to beg a vendor. So this year's sponsor for me was Studio Bricks. So thanks so much for the badges. Appreciate it. My brother and I went.
You didn't need a stinking badge.
We walked in.
Badges?
Don't you know who I am? Yeah, doesn't work. I walked in there with my brother. We shot some video, and we saw five things that we made video of, and, well, here it is.
Hey everybody, it's George the Tech, here to cover some of the cool stuff we see at NAMM Show. I did not want to miss Audient because these guys have a trick up their sleeve, and here to tell us all about it is Andy. How you doing, Andy?
Hey guys,
see ya.
How you doing, man?
Thank
good.
You, man.
So this is our new product range and sub-brand that we've launched under the Audient umbrella. And it's two interfaces. It's a two-channel interface and a four-channel interface. So the primary focus on this is a feature called Smart Gain, as it comes up on the screen perfectly in time. So what this allows you to do is dial in your channels automatically. So it's ideal for people that want to focus on the creative process, or they might not necessarily have the experience. What this allows you to do is quickly set your gain levels and start working straight away. So this has switchable phantom power, a full 48 volts that can be assigned to channel 1 and 2 individually, and it's all done over bus power, and it is 100% 48 volts. Some of these buttons on the unit also have dual functionality. For example, channel 1 and 2 and the volume button, you can hold them down to mute them. So if you're doing a podcast and you need to cough, or you know, you need to quickly mute your microphone, Yeah, it's all tactile and it's all there, and you can just do it straight away. So we try to add some cool features like that that are actually useful. Channels 1 and 2 can be dialed in manually as well. So you're not forced to use the Smart Gain mode if you don't want to. It's a new preamp design. So it's not the Audient preamp design, but it's very similar in terms of the way it sounds. It offers 58 dB of gain range, which, you know, is really, really good for the price point, which I'll get to. But in terms of character, it's very similar to Audient. It's clean, it's very honest and very accurate. One of the really, really cool features that's particularly interesting for your audience is we have loopback. So loopback is built into both Evo 4 and 8, and what that essentially allows you to do is record your computer's audio at the same time as your microphone, for example. So again, using podcasting as an example, if you had someone phoning in on a Skype call, and you wanted to record their Skype call and record your microphone at the same time, so you can edit it and get better producing abilities, then you can do that. And it's all really, really simple. So in terms of functionality for the price point, it really is a very fully featured interface. But that's not to forget that it is a very good interface on its own for home recording. Dynamic range is 113 dB, it's AKM converters. This exact same converter is found in our Sono interface, which, you know, is four times the price.
Well, actually, when is it available and for what will we be looking to pay?
Yeah, so this will be available towards the end of February, but price points are 129 MAP, so very affordable, and 199 MAP.
Very nice.
Yeah. And, yeah,
fantastic.
We're really excited about them.
Package,
yeah.
And Price point's amazing. Can't wait to test it in the real world and see how it sounds and how it works.
Go.
Excellent. Congratulations, Andy.
Thank you very much.
George the Tech here, NAMM 2020, looking for the top five things at NAMM, and we've got one on the list for sure with Vanguard. Vanguard's got a new microphone. The V13's pretty cool with tubes, but what if you don't want to have the big power supply and the tubes and you still want that sound? What do we got, Derek?
Well, we got the Vanguard V4. It's like the little baby brother of the V13. So it actually uses the same exact capsule, same voicing, 3-micron super sensitive diaphragm, and it's a custom voicing. It's the only one like it in the world. It's our little baby. So we've got 3 patterns on this. Cardioid, which will probably be the one you use. Figure 8 if you want more proximity. And Omni if you want less. Figure 8's also great for a dual interview. You got one on the back, one on the front.
Right here in the middle.
We were able to ditch the tube, the power supply, and the transformer, which reduces our cost a lot, but still tune the circuit to sound a lot like the V13.
Way easier to travel with.
Way easier to travel with. It does come with the aluminum case, comes with a shock mount.
Yeah.
Also comes with mic sleeves, so you don't have to take it down every time. Just cover it up. I call it the mic condom. You practice safe storage.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
When are these going to be available? These are out now?
These are out now, and the best part is this.
$340 or $399. That's
half
pretty
the
darn
price
good.
Of the V13.
That's pretty
very
darn
affordable.
Good.
And if you're looking to upgrade from a USB mic and get something that is going to do wonders for your voice, I think this will do a great job.
I've recommended a lot of mics in this basic price range, but this is one of the few with 3 patterns where they can have a lot more control over
and
the sound.
And it has a pattern roll off if you do need
those. Oh, it does.
That's, you probably
should. The roll off is very, very helpful.
Yeah,
being able to cut the bottom end out is the most helpful thing a voice actor can do. Pretty impressive. Well, thanks, Derek. Thanks for telling us all about it. See you at the next booth.
Hi, I'm Chris New with Paluso Microphone Lab here at the 2020 NAMM. I wanted to show you guys one of our newest mics here. This is the Paluso PS1. This is a large diaphragm stage condenser microphone. It's got a 1-inch centered edge terminated capsule. This is a very durable mic, very roadworthy and stage worthy. It's got a large diaphragm capsule. It's got an 18 dB pad. It's got high and low end roll-offs. It's internally shock mounted. The capsule is mounted on a steel post. The post is in 2 silicone discs inside. It eliminates the handling noise. Very heavy duty, robust body. The interior of the head grill has a wind foam on the inside to take care of the pops. In comparison to our other models, this microphone is probably closest to our version of the 414. It has the edge terminated capsule, and the circuit design is very similar to that of the 414, but in a handheld stage body, ready for the road.
What's the? It's got that roll off. Where does the top roll off start?
The low roll off at 125. The high roll-off starts at 8K.
This 414's voicing is similar to which AKG, because they've made so many over the years. Like, how would you characteristic its voicing?
This 414 microphone has a brass capsule, similar to the very early 414's, perhaps in the line about the EV version.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it has the brass capsule, has mechanical switches, 4 patterns, 2 stages, a pad, 2 stages of roll-off. It's got a transformered output. We gave it an extended stem on the base for easier mounting, quick setup. And we did a really heavy-duty body build on this, heavy-duty head grill. This mic is also really roadworthy and sounds fantastic. Frequency response on this one is very flat all the way across the board. It's a fantastic microphone.
Great. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for coming by.
I hope you're having a great NAMM.
Oh, sure, certainly are. Certainly are. Great to be here.
Hey, guess what? I'm at NAMM Show and I'm checking out Owl Sound's new headphones. These are planar magnetic driver noise canceling Bluetooth headphones. And tell me a little quick about them. Where can we find these things? You can find them February 1st on www.ausounds.com. Get your very own planar magnetic over your headphones, active noise cancellation, 28-hour battery life, only $299. And they plug in, so you can plug them into your DAC or your instrument for no latency. And I mean, I have a ton of headphones. These things sound so incredibly detailed, and normally headphones like this are way more expensive, and they're really comfortable. So, oh man, NAMM Show, it cost me so much damn money because now I got to buy another pair of headphones, but I think I'm going to have to. These things are pretty awesome.
We're trying to show you five great things from NAMM, and absolutely I can't miss Mojave microphones. And a guy I've known actually a long time, I met at the Donlafontaine VoiceOver Lab when they contributed microphones to help us launch that studio at SAG Foundation, Dusty Wakeman. How you doing, Dusty?
Great to see you, George.
Good to see you,
too. I'm glad to hear that the studio and foundation is still going on and
it
doing
really
well.
Is.
That's great.
What you helped to contribute in your way is... it's doing what it was designed to do. So
that's great.
We built it, and now it's happening. Thousands of voice actors and fledgling actors have come through that studio.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Great to hear.
Well, what is happening at Mojave? I mean, you've got the high end and the low end and everything right in the middle. So,
well, these mics are all designed by David Royer, who's famous for the Royer Ribbon mics.
Right.
These are the condenser mics.
Sure, sure.
Which he's been making for decades, started in his garage, hand making them under the Mojave name.
Right.
About 10 miles from here in Fullerton.
Yeah.
And it starts with the MA50. This is our transformerless $600 microphone. Great for voiceover work.
Yeah.
A really popular microphone, great sounding mic. Very uncolored.
Uncolored.
Yeah,
okay.
Very transparent.
Gotcha.
And then we move to the 201 FET and the 301 FET. These both have Jensen transformers in them.
Okay.
So they're a little beefier. And the 201 FET is cardioid only, and it's also very popular for voiceover work.
Gotcha.
The 301 FET is a little more versatile. It's got three patterns
on it. Those
are
the patterns, right.
Multi-pattern, and it has a high-pass filter and an attenuator.
Oh, that's helpful, yeah.
So you can really use it for a lot of different things.
Right, right.
Right.
It's fun. I love to have voice actors with multi-pattern mics get out of the usual cardioid and try out the figure.
Right.
Figure eight.
Yeah, figure
eight's
great.
It just creates this different
really
focus
focused
pattern. And if you've got glass next to a microphone,
right,
takes the glass reflection out, it's actually pretty useful.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we moved to the tube mics, the 200 and the 300.
Right.
The 200 is cardioid only. The 300's multi-pattern.
And see how they're related.
The pattern selector for this one is on the power supply, and it's continuously variable.
Right.
So you can really dial it in.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
You can hypercardioid or supercardioid.
Anywhere in between.
Anywhere in between.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
So
we started here around 800-ish?
600. And this one's 3,000.
3,000, so that's
everything
the range
in between. Right.
Very nice.
Most of them are below 1,500, except for this one. That's
and
our first really high-end.
They're designed and made right here in the area.
Yep. In Burbank. Beautiful downtown Burbank.
And all of these are currently available. They're all on the
they're
market.
All available.
They're all out there.
Yeah, Sweetwater, Vintage King, Guitar Center, all the usual suspects.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Well, it's great catching up with you again,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you too, man. And
thanks,
if we
Dusty
can do anything to help with the foundation, you know, don't hesitate to call.
I'll let them know.
Love being involved.
I'll let them know. Fantastic.
Cool.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for coming by.
George the Tech here at NAMM Show. See you at the next booth. Hey everybody, it's George the Tech here at NAMM 2020 in Anaheim. I promised you five amazing things from NAMM, and this is definitely going to be on that list. This is Studio Bricks. How you doing, Miguel?
Hi, George.
How are you feeling?
Amazing.
Well, you've got the a beautiful chrome paint job version of the the Studio Bricks. This is the Studio Bricks 1 Plus.
Yes, this is the 3x5.
Tell me why this booth works so well for voiceover in this size.
This is, you know, we do have the Studio Bricks 1 and 1 Plus, and we have a new one that is a little bit wider. It's the 1 Plus XXL.
Oh, really?
It's 3x6.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So, because some people need a little bit more space for, you know, like performing inside.
Right. They want that extra amount of space.
Yeah.
Is the extension on the side of the door? So, it's sort of like the same width.
Yeah,
on both sides of the door?
Yeah, you are right.
Got you. Okay. What are some of the unique features of the Studio Bricks?
So, as you know, Studio Bricks doesn't have any kind of booth with one single wall. We do have like only double wall or triple wall.
Yeah.
As you can see here,
double wall, right?
That is the double wall. And you have like MDF, varnish MDF here, and also the foam MDF here.
That's like an inch and a half gap. So the basic model has this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It looks out around like 45 decibels, mm-hmm. and the triple wall it looks out about around like 48 to 50 decibels. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's go inside and hear what this sounds like when we go in here.
So as you can see here and you can hear here, you know, if we close the door and seal the door, you know, we are getting really, really quiet.
Yeah, that extra seal mechanism makes a considerable difference.
Yeah, the difference is pretty, pretty like big, right?
Yeah, it really is.
We do have in this case, we do have the Studio Bricks One Plus Voice Over Edition. It's coming with the microphone arm and also the tray arm.
Mm-hmm.
And more acoustic panels on the floor level, the integrated desk, and the bass drop. And, you know, it makes a lot of difference.
That disc can be removed and you can put a display on that.
Yeah, you can put a display.
That's included with it, right?
Yes, of course. And then in this case, also, we do have that window. It's an extra window.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can add an extra window. You can assemble and dismantle it as many times you want. We don't have any screw, we don't have any nail, any kind of glue, we don't use any kind of glue. So you can, you know, you snap the pieces together, dismantle them, and you can, you know, do that as many times as you want.
Now, usually these come shipped from Spain, right?
Yeah.
But there's something going on with the U.S.
Yeah, so good news. Yes, good news, because in March we are going to have a bunch of them here in the United States. So the thing is going to be that the shipping price is going to go down. And that is a good news because, you know, people can save around like $400 to $500.
Shipping price goes down, yes. and the shipping speed
is shipping speed, way up. Yes, because we are going to store them there in New Jersey.
Lovely.
So that is going to be, you know, a big difference. So, and it's going to be our first pilot. And then if it goes well, we are going to, you know, go ahead and keep going, do that. And with the Studio Bricks One Plus, Voice Over Edition, and no Voice Over Edition. So in white color.
Well, congratulations. That is a big
deal. Thank you very much.
Okay.
George
bye.
The Tech. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve.
And we're back.
Yay.
Looks like you had a good time. Well, we're going to talk about some of that stuff and answer some questions that were sent into us this week.
Oh, good. We get to actually be useful.
Yeah. Actually, some of them might have been left over from last week from our audio Masters Roundtable.
Oh, good.
So those some interesting questions. And then Byron can join in and we'll talk about what you saw at NAMM. And if you've got a question, throw it in the Facebook chat room right now. No, not half an hour from now, because then we won't get to it till next week.
That's right.
All right. So we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're listening to VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS.TV.
Hey, it's time to talk about VoiceOverEssentials.com. And unlike Congress, VoiceOver Essentials keeps their word and their amazingly successful January 2020 sale on their voice-optimized headphones positively ends at midnight January 31st Central Standard Time. Only on voiceoveressentials.com, though. Free shipping in the continental U.S. By the way, for current users of version 1 and 2, VoiceOver Essentials now has replacement leather ear pads available and the replacement audio cords for version 2. That's over at voiceoveressentials.com. Go over to voiceoveressentials.com and get your Harlan Hogan voice-optimized headphones right now for $20 off.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's a, the files are ready, don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
Hey, everybody. It's time to talk about Source Elements. You know who they are, the creators of Source Connect, that tool that you don't have. What? You don't have it? You should have it. It's that tool that allows you to connect your studio to other studios around the world so they can record you from your booth. It's a tool you should have because even if you're not being asked for it now, you might be asked for it tomorrow or in a month or in a year. You want to have it ready to go and know how to use it. It's really the heir apparent to ISDN technology, and it is definitely what the pros are using. You can go ahead and sign up for a 15-day free trial of Source Connect over at sourceelements.com. Get it up and running. Get your iLock account in order. There's a little video on there. I'll teach you how to do it by yours truly. And it'll help you get up and running so you can understand how it all works. Then that day that you get the gig, you can activate the license. It's a no-brainer. Give it a try. Thanks for your support, Source Elements. And we'll see you right after this break.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching Voice Over Body Shop. It's great.
And we're back on Voice Over Body Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like, you know, you took the best of the best. What was your favorite of all the stuff that you saw?
Well, yeah, I tried to. I mean, one day is just not enough. Yeah. Not even close.
Two days usually isn't enough.
Yeah, you're right. I was very cool to see that Audient did something new. I mean, really try to do something really new with the auto level setting thing. Seems like a feature that is a long time coming for VoiceOver. I mean, we have autofocus on cameras. Why the heck don't we have auto gain? We think of auto gain can sometimes get a really bad rap because we think of the automatic level control on cameras,
right?
Called AGC, automatic gain control. Those are notoriously really bad historically. Something loud happens, the level drops way down, and they eventually get loud again. Not this. This, you hold down the button or tap it. I have to get a real demo to tell you. And it will listen to you, and then based on the performance that you give during the sound check, it will set the gain. I don't know what the buffer is. Honestly, I don't know any of the technicals yet because I haven't tried it.
People don't get level setting right. They don't understand it.
It is the ultimate lazy fix for that problem. Hit a button, read some copy. Okay, you're done. I think that's cool. Again, those headphones I tried on, I'm a headphone junkie a bit. I'm totally happy with these Harlan Hogan headphones. I've been using them sort of interchangeably with my Audio Technica ATH40s, which are $100 headphones. So these new ones from All Sounds are a different category. They use a different kind of driver. They're much more complicated and usually way more expensive. Now, we're $300, we're talking pricey. But remember those headphones I talked about like a month or so ago called the Nora Tone or Nora Sounds?
Yeah.
Those are going back. I can't deal with the way those things are designed. They have little in-ear fingers that press into your ears inside the ear cups. So it's almost like the worst of both worlds instead of the best of, I think, to me anyway, because I'm not an in-ear monitor person. I don't really like them. I even had the custom molded ones at one point. Even those irritated me. I just don't like it. So anyway, those are going back. Those were over $300, by the way.
Yeah.
And these are probably going to take their place. And I love that they're ultra versatile. They're Bluetooth and noise canceling, and they're hardwired. Like you can plug a cord in and go wired. So I love a super versatile headphone. Throw it in my backpack, travel, use it on the plane, then use it to evaluate audio, edit audio, whatever. This hopefully will be that headphone for me when I eventually get them. They're here in Sherman Oaks. Who knows? Maybe we can get them to come over.
Yeah, really.
Do a demo
come on
right
over
here.
For, pass some coffee.
All Sounds, AU Sounds.
You went to NAMM. What did you like there?
I always like the weird little guys with the not even a 10-foot booth and the table.
Like on the wall, there's that one
wall.
Yeah,
we're doing stuff and you go, are you kidding me? Right.
Yeah.
Because the big booths, you know, you're going to read about it the next day in the trades anyway. They're
sound
spending
sound and sound.
Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars of stuff. So I like the guy that has, you know, made the trek from Lower Slobovia to be there and has the DSP algorithm that, you know, adds wonderfulness to everything. And you go, and then you, and you, wow, this is, what was your name again? And actually, slightly askew from NAMM, when I ran into the guys that were doing Positron, the automatic proofing for audiobook narrators.
Oh, Positron. Yeah, I haven't heard of that yet.
They were at, we'll talk about it later, but they were at APAC, the Audio Publishing Association conference.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it was two guys, and they had this, you know, these three magic beans that they would trade you for a cow, and it actually worked, and it's amazing. And they've been so I like the guys that are doing the very risky, very groundbreakingly cool stuff.
Right.
And a lot of times they're not there the next year. They just
aren't.
That's
right.
Because they've broken the ground.
That's right.
Or fallen into it. Which can occasionally happen.
Or need it to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like going to some shows. NAMM is too overwhelming for me. You know, I mean, you've seen me crumble in a corner when we've gone there. You know, to me, microphones are microphones and all that stuff is stuff. You know, and does it make a difference? Which is really one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight. And that is that all of the stuff at NAMM, which stands for National Association of Music Merchandisers.
Right.
I got it right this year.
Yeah, it took me a while to get that one.
Yeah. Is that it's all designed for music. Not one of those people really considered voiceover when they were designing any one of those products.
Now, I would always prompt the vendor, you know, and say, this is in the context of voiceover. And they would always automatically shift into their spiel about the line, the high impedance line input for bass and how great these work on drum overheads. And I would, you know, if they did that, I edited it out of the video, so you didn't have to see it. But they almost always do. They're programmed for that, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, it's people who tune into our show, you know, especially for Tech Talk.
Yeah.
They need to understand that all of this stuff was never intended for doing the type of work that we do in voiceover.
Right.
That it is, we're borrowing this technology and we're adapting it to our needs, but our needs are nowhere near as sophisticated as that. So I guess I got on a real ramble this week on a number of forums where people are like, well, I got to get one of these. And I talk about this all the time.
I know.
And
we all do.
Yeah, my patience is a little low right now. But,
sorry, I apologize on both of our behalfs.
Yeah,
you see us in a forum or something else, and we're a little snarky.
It's not going to change the way you read copy. You're still going to sound like you. I was talking to somebody this week, and they're like, "Well, I know you say just take your mic and plug it into the 2i2, but I have a DBX 386 because I like the way it makes my voice sound real warm." And I'm like, but for crying out loud, do you talk to people through a DBX 386 when you're having a conversation with somebody?
I bet they do now.
I'm sure she probably does. But it just drives me bananas that it's like, I got to get this competitive edge. How about going to a voiceover coach?
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not going to name anybody, but I worked for the fellow
Gertrude.
In the last couple of...
Fred.
Poor fellow a couple of times in the last few months, you know, who's done the rounds, right?
Right.
And he's literally going almost in circles. When I mean that, I mean, he's worked with me. He's worked with, probably worked with Dan.
Yeah.
He's worked with Tim Tippett. He's worked with Uncle Roy.
Yeah.
He's worked with, I think, Larry Hudson for audio tech, learning audition.
Yeah.
So he's gathered this huge basket of stuff, right? And he bought this mic. And he bought that mic. And he bought the Apollo.
Do you have this guy's phone number?
Yeah. Oh, boy. I do. And I feel terrible for him because he's launching into this career. He has a background in acting, but he's getting waylaid by the technology. And it's costing him a huge amount of frustration and
time.
It's
not the technology,
guys. And he's got conflicting information. None of it's necessarily wrong. But, and I, you know, half the time it's almost like counseling where I tell him, you know,
only
I know you
have.
Yeah, I feel like I really
a lot of
feel
lecturing,
bad, but
actually.
Like it's just like it's not the. I use cars for analogies. I use camera and photography for analogies because people seem to get those more than sound. But I'm like, it's not the car, man. It's the driver. Okay, you and the Porsche. Now you're thinking you need the Lamborghini or you need the Ferrari. No, learn to drive the Porsche. The Porsche is fine. Stop trying. You know, it's there's a lot of that going on.
It's also this matter of, God, I was going somewhere with this, and it just came out of my head because I got
a leak on the floor.
I've got a lot going on in my head right now.
But anyway, keep it simple. We want you guys to get to a professional result and not let that get in the way of your acting, because it's 95% of that and 5% of the tech stuff in terms of the whole grand scheme of things.
Right. You your know. Thoughts, Mr. Wagner?
I think I can do this in 42 seconds.
Okay.
I was attending a rehearsal of a band that I was producing, and they were in a barn, and they had a bunch of amps and so on. They said, oh, let's record the rehearsal. I said, okay, fine. They had a little TAC 4-track, and they had kind of this random assortment of microphones that had either fallen out of the back of a truck or been left over from one of their gigs.
Yeah.
Some were high impedance. And I, you know, did it together, and I put together a little mix and so on. And they came afterwards and they said, this sounds great. How did you do this? And it was, I mean, seriously, it was a hodgepodge of mics. And the answer is, well, I know a little bit about acoustics. I know how I, you know, place microphones to get what you want and leave out what you don't want.
Yeah.
And they were astonished because it wasn't a studio with high, you know, expensive stuff.
I have a very similar story. I'll keep it exactly 42 seconds starting now and go. I recorded my friend's big band in a studio in Philadelphia, but we didn't have access to the control room.
Wow.
We had access to the live room.
I get it.
So I brought in my 8-track hard disk, well, basically PC with an 8-channel preamp.
Yeah.
I had 8 microphones and 8 channels and 8 tracks to record a 17-piece big band, right? And I set it up the best way I could, you know? I set it up, had my mic set up, whatever. Long story short, you know, they heard the mix, and then the guy who ran the studio for the school, he's like, wait, where did you record this? I said, I recorded it in your studio. He's like, no. That room is not a good room. He's like, no, there's no way you recorded that. And I was like, yeah, I did. You know, like, he's like, he couldn't believe it, that it was recorded in there. And it's just, we're not saying this to, like, show off, but we're trying to say that you can take a minimum amount of gear and a minimum amount of stuff, and when it's put in the right places and set up the right way, get a huge a great sounding result.
Which was the point that I was actually got derailed off my train of thought.
My bad.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I went along.
The thing is you can have all this gear and you can see in the forums that there's all this great stuff and you buy this stuff, but if you don't know what it does, how it does it, why it does it, and more importantly, how to use it, what good is it to you? Having the equipment isn't what makes it good. It's knowing how to use it and why you would use it, which I think is possibly, you know, it's great to see all this gear. It's eye candy. It's ear candy.
It's fun.
And if you're geeky about it, but literally very little.
Separate the geek hobby from the voiceover.
Right.
Like if you like both, that's great, but don't let this fun hobby of geekiness get in the way of the acting of the voiceover.
It is technically possible to go to B&H and buy the most incredible camera,
just not
automatic exposure. No, yeah. Right. But or even online on Saturday. But buy the most incredibly well-engineered camera with auto exposure and shutter priority and all this amazing stuff.
And take horrible photographs.
However, how many times have you met a successful professional photographer that leaves it on automatic?
Good
not
point.
Too much, not too often. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
All right. We got questions.
Should we dive into the questions?
We should dive in some of these questions.
Let's do it.
We sort of already answered this one. Bob Liedem asks, thoughts on mic preamps? Don't use an external preamp.
You rarely ever need it. I mean, it's one of those, like, you just don't need it. I mean, 10 years ago, yeah, I would say for sure.
But some of the interfaces their preamps weren't
marginal.
All that great.
Man, they've gotten so good now. The interface, the preamps that are built into the Scarlett at all, like the thing you just saw, the Evo.
Yeah,
you know, tremendous technology and design goes into this. There's so much packed into these chips. They're so smartly designed. They're clean. They're low noise. They're low distortion. They're, you know, really. Yeah. I mean,
there's a simple answer if you want. take the microphone that you want to use, take the preamp that you'd like to test, make a recording.
Yeah.
Do the same thing without using the separate preamp.
I do it right. All the time.
Detest. Play them back for someone who's very knowledgeable and very discerning, and one don't tell them which one is which.
Right.
Right.
And see what
blind,
they say.
That's called the blind A-B test.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I love blind A-B tests, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how many times I'll go into somebody's studio and you and I love going in there and plugging everything.
I love unplugging.
Yeah, it. And it's like
a cable.
Yeah, and you plug it in and you're like, okay, record. And they go back and they go, gee, that sounds better.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's amazing. Some of those preamps, especially something like a DBX 386, may actually be causing more problems than it's trying to solve.
Yeah, I think the 386 is a tube. Is that a tube one? If it's got tubes and it costs less than a couple grand, it's usually not very well made. Let me get laid on that secret. Because building stuff with tubes is difficult to do right. It takes a lot of parts. It takes a big power supply. And if it's small and fits in the palm of your hand and has tubes in it, it's probably not made very well and probably not helping you. Take it out of the circuit. Keep it clean. No distortion. All that stuff, tubes, transformers, all those things that can be built into your preamp or whatever, add color, and another word for color is distortion.
Crap.
That's the other word for color. The other word for color is distortion. Yeah. So we don't want to add distortion. Let the producers, whatever else they're doing with your voice, add it later for the production. So
yeah. And that's the most important thing, is that we're not doing this for the end user, which is coming out of someone's television speaker or their radio. We're sending it to the people who know how to do this stuff.
Yeah, hopefully.
And so, yeah, well.
That's a whole other
sometimes.
Discussion.
You know, there was the time I was in a studio and it was outside, there was a jackhammer. He says, oh, we'll get rid of that in post.
One by one.
Yeah.
Bonk.
Bonk.
Another one. Bonk. Yeah. That out.
Yeah. So.
Every time it hits the ground.
If you'd like to understand the very simple reasoning for why you want to have as uncolored and unchanged and pristine audio as possible, it's very simple.
Don't ask Byron. Oh, no, he knows.
It is exceptionally difficult to remove bad EQ or reverberation.
It's there forever.
That you think sounded good because you were anticipating what might sound good to the very end user at the end of the chain. And usually you're going to be wrong.
And compression, especially.
And you're taking choices away from the person who is trying to make your stuff sound as good as possible.
In other words, you don't hire you.
Yeah. Or you don't produce you either.
That's true,
unless
too.
Unless you're the producer.
How about brain surgery? No?
Isn't that what a mirror is for?
Exactly.
Okay.
Butter knife.
Question from Tuba Aftab Ahmed.
Awesome. Best name yet.
Yeah. Does keeping a smartphone inside the booth or close to the mic really impact recording?
I'll let Byron start with that one.
A long time ago. The simple answer was, it used to be, when analog cell phones were 3 watts or less for a small one, there could be a huge impact from the radio frequency emanations of the phone. Now they're digital, so they're worse, except the power is much lower. So the answer is, these days, it shouldn't be much of a problem. But if you want to test it, take your phone, turn it on silent, and have someone call your phone while it's in the booth. Because that's going to be the most specifically discrete thing you can do. The ringing signaling means that you're getting a lot of stuff back and forth to set up a call or to make the phone ring. And then, again, just listen and see if there's any bleeding electronically from the radio frequency output of your phone. Because that's typically the worst case,
yeah,
is when you've got your phone in your pocket, set to silent, and you get a bunch of crap on your recording because your phone's been ringing, meaning it's been talking to the cell phone tower.
Right. But that generally is not going to be picked up by a microphone, though. That might be picked up by...
Depends on how good the shielding of the microphone is.
Well, that's if you've got a good microphone, it's not a problem.
EM, I agree. Electromagnetic interference is part of it, can be a problem. Yeah, if you hear that clicking, it's often a clicky. You hear it as click, right?
They're data packets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when the phone is receiving a call, doesn't it ramp up the power for a minute or something?
Because the cell site needs to know how far away you are,
yeah,
and it cranks your power up or down to match so that it can reuse the frequencies in other cells and to keep it as low as possible.
Yeah, super crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So the simple answer is it depends.
Maybe. Maybe.
Hope that helps, Tuba.
I mean, I have a lot of people that do use a cell phone in the booth for you know, taking their direction. They'll use their earbud in one ear or even a Bluetooth. I've never heard of Bluetooth interfering with a microphone. Extremely, extremely low power consumption. Have you ever?
And it's a 2 gig.
It's a high frequency.
No, I'll tell you what used to be the worst culprit were cordless phones.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like cordless a 900 megahertz type
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's rarely going to be a problem, but test it, just like Byron said. You'll find out for yourself.
All right. Here's one from Andreas Somville.
Cool. These are new names.
Yeah.
I love this when I see new names.
We had a lot of people who were watching, you know, our Audio Masters Roundtable last week. It says, is there really a big difference between the acoustic panels from Amazon and AliExpress? Or is that AliExpress?
AliExpress, yeah.
Yeah. What is better, a plywood booth or a blanket fort?
I think those are two different. Yeah, I'm going to separate those as two questions.
Go for it.
Well, the problem is I don't know what exactly products she's referring to.
Can I vamp while you're thinking about that?
Yeah,
here's one of the biggest problems with acoustic foam. The Rhode Island nightclub fire that killed people. Foam is typically made of one of two ingredients, melamine, which is effectively in as in non-flammable, and foam that's made out of petroleum products. And if you know anything at all about fire or rapid oxidation, the more surface area you have available to rapidly oxidize, as in burn, and the more fuel you have and the more oxygen you have, that burns really good. You want to scare the heck out of yourself?
Think of a Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. Better. Take some cotton swab material. Take cotton balls. Wham.
Yeah, they light up.
Because they're so oxygenated.
Yeah.
So a lot of acoustic foam that's sold by very well-meaning people very cheaply is urethane foam. It's not melamine foam.
And the urethane is the petroleum product, and it's very flammable.
It's also illegal in public spaces, but it is legal in a lot of places in a private residence.
Yeah.
So if you want to die in a private residence as opposed to a public space, then there, you got a choice.
So that's one reason to avoid the foams.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to assume you're comparing foam to foam. And definitely, whether foam is foam when you're comparing like a big brand name like Oralex to the knockoffs, of which there are many, are those going to be compared differently? Yeah, I would say so. Some of the foam that you'll find out there is really spongy. It doesn't feel all that different from like a kitchen sponge. And other foams are far more dense and hold their shape a lot more. And those more dense hold their shape foams are going to be better at controlling sound.
There's a very interesting consumer product.
Yeah.
That's made from melamine foam, if you want to see what it feels like. It's the Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
Ooh.
Because it's
which works
great. So if you get enough of those to line your booth with, you're not going to die from fire.
I haven't done the math yet.
It's a little expensive to do it that way.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But you can also just grab one and clean a pot with it.
You can?
Or your shower.
Super versatile, these acoustic panels.
It's amazing. I don't know. It's amazing stuff. When I first saw that, yeah.
I think I would avoid an AliExpress ship from China foam right now, unless there's somebody independently test them in the U.S. and
unless it's from Wuhan.
I was going to say, if it's coming from Wuhan. Yeah, you know, you may not want to, you know, might want to sanitize that one down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just, now what's
that? Have you ever opened a package from China and you open it and you get a waft of whatever
Chinese air from
whatever
the factory.
The odor was in that particular, or whatever he was smoking, right? I usually
appreciate and enjoy it. Sometimes I'll put it in a brandy snifter and I'll go, a brave little vintage from the north end of the factory. Yes.
It's an interesting experience.
Yes.
Then there's the plywood
booth
versus
a blanket fort.
Okay. Well, so the reason to use plywood is you're trying to the best reason to use plywood, if there is a reason, which there aren't that many, but if there is one, it's to try to keep some sound from getting into the microphone from the outside. Plywood does that okay. Not really great. Think of things that are made of plywood that you play music with, such as an acoustic guitar. Think about how well it transmits sound when you strum it. Plywood can be quite resonant. So plywood's not that great. If you're going to make something out of wood, use MDF, which is made out of, it's basically recycled wood, right? Wood chips. It's molded and glued into boards. It's because it's basically, it's very dense and it doesn't resonate very much. That's when you use
IKEA
wood.
Furniture.
Like IKEA furniture, chipboard, or there's a medium density stuff that's more dense. That's what Whisper Rooms and the walls of the studio bricks you saw earlier made out of the same stuff. But the reason to not do that is when you're not trying to make soundproofing and you're just trying to make an acoustically decent sounding space. And that's when the blanket fort is the winner. Bang for the buck, how it works, how it sounds, how you can make one big enough to stand in. You can't make an enclosure cheaper than moving blankets and PVC pipe that sounds reasonably to really good. In fact, so good that my friend Rick, as you guys saw, literally made a whole product out of exactly that and is selling it because it works so dang good and it's simple.
But the confusion is there are two different problems.
Yeah.
Isolation. When somebody says, what makes a good studio? The first answer is, if you have leaf blowers or snow blowers and jackhammers outside, ideally you don't want that on your recording. That's isolation.
Right.
Which has nothing to do with the ambient sound of the room that you're in.
Yeah.
So the blanket fort is extremely effective at dealing with that.
Yeah.
And is worthless at keeping out outside noises.
Right.
Whereas the plywood may be good within a certain frequency range to keep out a certain set of noises. And it bounces and sounds like a box, unless you do the both together.
Right.
Something absorbent on top of something that's isolating.
Right? Yeah.
Also important to mention, because I think a lot of people forget this one in the acoustical equation, the louder you talk, the more the acoustics of the area you are recording in come into play.
Yeah.
So if you're talking and projecting towards the mic, like everybody does when they're talking conversationally, which is what they
projecting towards the mic when they're talking conversationally like that. Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
exactly. if you're talking at a normal pace and in a normal volume, the acoustics of the room do not become quite as critical.
Not as bad. Yeah. It's when you start doing those animation auditions.
Right. And the thing is if you're doing animation, you step away from the mic and yell. Because when someone is yelling really loud on a video game, they're not next to your ear either.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Yeah. Gork, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No,
but the problem in most modern spaces is you walk into a room, and what's the cheapest way you can make a space? You have drywall, and you put paint on it.
Right.
And you have a ceiling that's got maybe plaster on top of drywall. So you're standing in an echo chamber, and what's even better is it has square dimensions or rectangular dimensions with lots of great parallel surfaces, some of which you can't even get rid of, like the floor and the ceiling, without a lot of work.
Yeah.
So you're standing and getting flutter echo, and it sounds horrible, so you really need to do some work to solve that problem.
Yeah.
Right. Not in here.
It's funny, when we make studios, we'll build the frame, we'll do the whole thing, we'll make the whole shell, then we'll line the whole thing with insulation. The client will come into the room and then go, wow, this is amazing. It's super, super dead, right? It's just open studs with insulation.
Because you haven't put the
right? So they're going, wow, it sounds incredible in here, right? Then we come back in and put in its drywall. And they're like, this sucks. This is terrible. Well, no, it's because now we got to put the sound insulation in here. They're like, what? Why did we just do all that work? Yeah, no, it's soundproofing and isolation and then absorbing echo and reverb are problems that fight against each other, and we have to control them both in a studio. It's quite a process, but you can do it. And I would say bang for the buck, moving blankets are the cheapest, most effective thing. If you shop wisely, they may not stink when you take them out of the bag. Some of them do, some of them don't. So do your research, but you can get
super duper cheap. You double up on a couple of
layers.
You know, I'll mention Harbor Freight. You know, they're always on sale. You double those up, triple those up. They are just as good as Oralex.
Yeah. Now I will say where they don't work well is when you have them inside a plywood box. So once you have a box, just putting a couple layers of blankets in there will absorb some of the frequency ranges. But not all of them. It'll take out the mid to the high, and the bottom end is still there.
Right.
So you have this really resonant, muddy, horrible sound as a result. So now you got to add more stuff. Guess what those are? Bass traps. And they're sometimes made of foam. Sometimes they're made of Roxul.
But they're made of money.
But they made the money. This is one of the harder things to DIY in this business.
Absolutely.
But that's what it takes to get rid of that boxy plywood box sound.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Byron, thanks for joining us.
It's 7 o'clock Tech already. Oh,
hey, it just rolls by like that. All right. Hey, if you've got a question for us, write to us at theguys@vobs.tv, and we'll get it here on Tech Talk and make sure that you get it your studio right. Anyway, we'll be right back and wrap things up right after these.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Audiobook narration. ACX, Audible, rights holders, and success as a narrator. That's what you want, right? How about a free class on how to make that happen? Even better, how about 3 free classes on how to become a successful and happy audiobook narrator? It's about to happen, and all you need to do is let us know you're interested. Go to acxmasterclass.com to jump on the alert list for the upcoming 2020 training that they're offering. Absolutely free. That's acxmasterclass.com. The first class is Friday, January 17th, and they'll continue for the next week. To be able to watch these classes, just let us know you're interested. Visit acxmasterclass.com. That's acxmasterclass.com.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
And we're back.
Oh, man.
Boy, that great bumper. Questions.
Yeah.
You know, Tech Talk, people, you guys obviously like the Tech Talk. And we're happy to have you here for Tech Talk. And but we need your questions, so write to us at theguys@vobs.tv, and we'll actually talk to you.
Fuel the show. You're the fuel for the show.
Yeah. Well, we'll tell you we're going to use the question, so you can actually watch the show and hear your name read off with your question that is brilliant.
You fuels.
Oh. You fuels.
Okay. Anyway.
Such a sucker for
yeah.
me.
Next week, we'll have another great guest. Can't wait to see who it's going to be.
I'm coming back?
I have a feeling I know who it is. Who are our donors of the week?
Oh, Michelle Blenker, Sarah Borges, Philip Sapir, Trey Mosley, Shelley Avellino, Brian Page, Patty Gibbons, and Diana Birdsall.
All right.
You've heard those names before because they subscribe.
That's right.
Which you can do on our website if you want to. Give me even $1 a month. Whatever.
It helps.
If it makes you feel good, it helps us. And then if something really great, like a super... Man, Eureka, you just saved me years of research.
And billions of dollars.
And send us a little bit one time. Send us a nice one time donation if you like.
A wise investment.
Yeah.
Hey, show us your booths. Like,
who's
Johnny,
this one?
This is Johnny George's booth.
Not bad.
Yeah, this is brand new booth.
It's no Byron Wagner booth, but you know.
No, it's almost as nice. The screens aren't quite as big.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Looking good, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for the picture.
Yeah, send them to us at theguys@vobs.tv. Make sure you send them in landscape, not portrait.
This isn't TikTok.
This is not Twitter.
TikTok will be out soon, the TikTok version.
That's right. Hey, you want to be in our studio and watch the show live? You could.
You certainly could.
If you're going to be around, we do this every other week. And if you're going to be in town,
look,
there's actually somebody here.
Hey, Jeff.
That's Jeff Holman, who's learning how to be our social media czar here. You can come in here and watch the show live. It makes the show better because somebody actually laughs at what we're saying.
which that you helps, can hear.
That we can actually
hear.
Anybody
else hear that, what I just heard?
I'm sure it's somebody trying to get a hold of
no
you.
No idea what that is.
Yeah. So write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. Tell us when you're going to be in the greater Los Angeles area. This is the greater part of Los Angeles here in the Valley, though.
And sheer square footage.
And you can sit on this massive couch that we have here and enjoy the show live and see how we do it. It looks like it's alchemy, how we get it all done, but it's not.
And squeeze it into this little box.
It's amazing.
The TARDIS.
Yes. We need to thank our sponsors like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOverEssentials.com.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And J. Michael Collins Demos.
And, of course, the Dan and Marcy Leonard Foundation for the betterment of live webcasting and podcasting and recorded webcasting and podcasting.
It's easy for you to say.
I was going to run out of breath sooner or later. Also, Sue Merlino for a fantastic job tonight, doing what it takes to make this show work.
Hey, I hooked up a mic for you, Sue. Say something.
Hey, microphone.
Wow.
All that work for that precious...
It was fun.
Is she going to put clothes on next time?
Not if we have anything to say about it. All right. Anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you for joining us, you know... Your audio is very, very important, but the idea is not to sound great. It's to not sound bad.
Right.
It's easy to sound good. And if you need help, George and I are here to help you. And we're here every week talking about this stuff. So join us here on VoiceOver Body Shop. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS.
Yes.
See you next week.